The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Health Protection Surveillance Centre has announced that figures for the RSV virus are substantially higher than in other years. This follows a spike in the number of cases. There were 731 cases of RSV, including 290 hospitalisations in the week up to the 20th of November. Now, I'm joined by Dr. Ciara Martin, HSE National Clinic Advisor and Group Lead for Children and Young People. Ciara, good morning.
Good morning.
How big a spike is this compared to previous years?
It would be a significantly higher spike than we've seen in other years. So, for example, last season, our spike would have been in about 500 was the maximum we would have seen in number of cases. And similarly, in hospital numbers would have been about 250 thereabouts. And then it fell and it started to drop. But this year we're seeing much higher numbers than that.
Yeah. You have a theory as to why this is. I mean, the RSV, does it change like flu changes, like we've seen COVID change from Alpha to Delta to Omicron and beyond?
The RSV itself doesn't change, but some seasons we see higher numbers than others. And the theory this time and last year as well, which because last year was a spike as well, is that we just have a significant cohort of children who have not met this virus before because of lockdown and precautions taken during COVID. So they wouldn't have been in contact with other children and they wouldn't have picked it up as a routine virus that children meet regularly. Now, so this year we have
So you're talking about people who never had it. But is it kind of inevitable that everybody gets it as a baby stroke toddler?
Most children have come in contact with RSV and they pick it up when they're probably preschool, creches, school, that kind of age. And it's more or less a cold. It's there for about a week or two and they get better. It's just with the smaller babies, the RSV in particular causes more difficulty. So we see a number of those requiring hospitalisation.
Yeah, it does seem like a huge number. If there were 731 cases of RSV reported, but 290, almost 300 end up in hospital, it suggests that for the parent watching their baby deteriorate, it must be pretty shocking.
So I suppose the first message is most children get better at home without needing to come in to hospital. We do have good information for parents on the mychild.ae, which really helps parents kind of know what they're looking out for. Because if you're there, your worry is, do I need to go out to get a doctor in the middle of the night? Do I need to go to hospital? Is it okay to wait for another day? But we have all of that information available.
The symptoms then, because so many bugs floating around every winter. And we know historically, whether it's true of the latest COVID, I don't know, but COVID kind of ignored very young children, did it not?
It did, because very young children weren't getting COVID in the same numbers. And when they did, it wasn't affecting them to the same degree as adults.
So the symptoms then, distinguishing that your child has one of these viruses and particularly this RSV, what to look out for?
Okay, so now there's no definite feature that says this is definitely RSV, but what you do see is runny nose, coughing, sneezing, maybe a high temperature. Maybe your child might sound wheezy. And they're certainly not eating or drinking as much. So they're all quite non-specific, but they are that kind of cough, cold kind of symptoms that you see. And then particularly a small baby.
Yeah.
Because they have smaller airways, so their breathing rate may be up, or they may not be able to finish their whole bottle, or if they're breastfed, they may not be able to finish feeding completely. So they seem to get tired and sleep a lot.
Yeah. Now, the progression of this condition, what is its course? I mean, it starts maybe with the wheeziness and the sniffling and the cough and so on. How does it develop and then how does it recede?
That's a really good question, because what we say is, look, it develops over 3 or 4 days. So you may have a baby that you see maybe on day one or two who's got a little bit of cough and a mild fever. They will get a little bit worse for the next 2 or 3 days. And then about 4 days into the illness is when they've reached, we say, you know, in medical terms, they've reached their peak. So they're not going to get much worse. So they, but then they seem to stay like that for a couple of days. So I would describe it almost like 15 days. For the first 5 days, they get slightly worse each day. Then they seem to stay the same. And that's when parents worry, thinking, gosh, they're not getting better. You know, what's going to happen? But they stay the same for about 5 days. And then they start to get better over the course of the next 5 days.
Yeah. Now, there's a very public case. Paul Murphy's been talking to this station and others about baby Liam, who ended up on an ECMO machine in Sweden, which seems, you know, quite an extreme thing to do, but obviously necessary to save the baby's life. How does such a serious condition arise from RSV?
So when you have RSV, there's no cure. It's a virus, so antibiotics or medications like that don't help. What we do is, for children of mild RSV, we say just rest them, give them small amounts of fluid regularly. For children who are a little bit sicker, then sometimes they need help with their breathing or feeding. And when they come into hospital, we give them oxygen. We give them nice, warm, humidified oxygen. We sometimes help with their feeding through a little tube into their tummy, or sometimes with a drip. And then a very small number of those need additional support. So you might need ventilation, or a small number, again, of those who are ventilated might need this treatment called ECMO, where they, you know, and it's all about giving oxygen into the baby's blood and getting the oxygen back into the body. And that ECMO is a very specific, it's almost like bypass, a very specific set of kind of machines and care required to do that for a small baby. And what it does is it gives the baby oxygen and allows the baby time until they get better.
Okay, extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. Correct. Is what it stands for. And going to Sweden, why would that arise? Do we have ECMO facilities for babies here?
We have limited ECMO facilities here for children and babies, but we don't have it for every child. And we have quite a good relationship with Sweden, so we would regularly work with a hospital in Sweden to transfer children who require ECMO to Sweden and then bring them back when they're better.
All right. But the main thing is that most cases do not go down this road at all. Most cases can be safely managed at home, but obviously be alert to any deterioration.
And keep an eye, check the website. It really does have good information, mychild.ie.
Mychild.ie. Kira, look, thank you very much for all of that very useful information. Dr. Kira Martin, who is a HSE National Clinic Advisor and Group Lead for Children and Young People.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.